together. Lord Jesus Christ, as we hear the reading of Holy Scripture, please speak to us your words of spirit and life. Amen. Well, our first reading is from the Old Testament book of Joshua in the 24th chapter. Joshua gathers the tribes of Israel together to renew their covenant to God before his death. Let us listen to the word of our Lord. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Now therefore, we fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites, who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Today we conclude our reading of Ephesians as we read from the last chapter of Paul's letter, verses 10 to 20. As we read Joshua's parting words to the Israelites, we also read Paul's parting words to the church in Ephesus. Let us listen together to the word of our Lord. Paul speaks about the whole armor of God. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak." These are the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as I said, this month we have been reading through the letter to Ephesians. The text focuses on spiritual concerns for the gathered community of faith. Yes, even back then, a community of faith, the church, was struggling with a lot of spiritual concerns, some that we struggle with even today. This week, The letter focuses on the protective tools that shield and strengthen every individual believer as a community of faith draws vitality from the health of each and every person present. Now, I'm going to guess that none of us probably know what it's like to wear armor. We probably at this point know more about what it means to wear personal protective equipment. The pandemic has brought on this new knowledge regarding protective tools to use with a rampant virus. But no worries, today's sermon isn't about masking or vaccinating. Today's sermon is about how we sustain our faith in the midst of uncertainty in the world around us, because there's plenty of uncertainty around us. We tend to forget that instilling spiritual practices and gaining spiritual insight is just as important as learning new words or counting to 100, all those things that our children at one point have learned in school. And so as children and adults prepare to return to school for another year of learning, today may be a good reminder to all of us that we could use a lesson in keeping our spiritual health intact. We've blessed school children and prayed for them along with teachers and families today. And why have we done that? Well, because we know that prayer connects us to the one who has all the power to protect those that are most dear to us. We also know that our children and teachers face daily stressors, often beyond their own control, and prayer is like a piece of armor or protection that protects them from being overwhelmed by that stress. But the reality is, we don't have to be going to school in the next few weeks to receive prayer from our church community or to pray for ourselves. Prayer and so many other spiritual disciplines are good for everyone, regardless of age or school attendance. So today, when we read from Paul about the armor of God, we find it hard at times to envision the ancient means of military protection, much less imagining what it would be like to climb into all the armor ourselves. But it was not Paul's intention when he wrote the letter and talked about the armor to make God's protective nature appear foreign or confusing to the community of faith in Ephesus. Actually, the soldiers' apparel was something that would have been very familiar to the people in Ephesus. And so perhaps we might understand Paul's words better if a more relatable example was used rather than a description of the whole armor of God. So today, let's think of Paul's words like this. Maintaining spiritual health involves each of us to engage in a spiritually healthy diet. Embracing spiritual disciplines is like personal protective equipment for our bodies and souls in a troubled world. For years, we have been taught about our body's minimum daily requirements. Dietitians have drilled into us how many servings of meat and dairy, fruit and vegetables, bread and grains that we should be consuming every day. And those requirements keep changing, don't they? Or so it seems. Every time a new eating plan is presented in the media, what we know to be true about healthy eating then changes. Suddenly, we are informed that we do not need grains, or we're told that fat is in and carbs are out. Organic is best, and vegetables, though, still need to be on our plate at each meal. You know what is the most popular diet in 2021? The Mediterranean diet. Google it to know what you can eat. Of course, even these diet truths may already be out. People may have moved from that Mediterranean diet, I don't know, maybe back to the keto diet. You'll have to Google that to know what that is. Especially these diet changes change all the time when every time we have a celebrity chef that publishes a new recipe book. And you know what? It can be exhausting knowing what we should or shouldn't be eating. Even if we are no longer sure what exactly the minimum daily requirement should be, we do recognize that our bodies require certain things every day to maintain health and strength. When we were children, it was so important to receive our minimum daily requirements because they helped us to grow in a healthy way. There are vitamins and nutrients that are necessary to our overall development and growth from child to adult. And as adults, we may be grown, but we continue to try to maintain a healthy diet so that we might end our lives well, right? I'm sure my husband is tired of me reminding him every day to drink more water. Staying physically healthy is certainly important, but Paul's text this morning is much more concerned about our spiritual health. And just as we all have physical minimum daily requirements, so our own spiritual body must be constantly nourished with a carefully balanced diet of prayer and praise, worship and service to others. For too long, our spiritual health has been ignored or taken for granted as though it were an aspect of our lives that, well, would simply take care of itself. And I think we all have to fight that human nature to treat our faith like an afterthought. But the reality is that our spiritual health can't be, well, treated like the treadmill in our bedroom, right? Or the exercise bike that's holding all of our dress clothes. Our faith can't be contained in a bottle of gummies that we can take every day so that our connection to God will be sustained. No, it doesn't quite work that way. Our spiritual health has to be exercised every day. Sometimes alone as we develop personal habits, and other times together so that we can learn from and support each other on our journey with Jesus. And unlike the changing field of nutritional science, Christians have a long tradition of those elements that are necessary to meet our spiritual requirements. What was practiced long ago by prophets and saints and Jesus himself are the same spiritual disciplines we should continue engaging in now. Jesus demonstrated over and over again all that a vital life of faith needs, and that is dependence on the presence of certain spiritual disciplines. Now, there are a variety of spiritual disciplines many of us have learned, observed, or practiced. By attending church each week, many of you engage in the spiritual disciplines of singing praises, reading scripture and prayer, to name just a few. And it appears that Paul knew that these disciplines and even more were an important part of those minimum daily requirements to stand firm in our faith. Paul describes our minimum daily requirements as communal rituals involving family devotions and prayer circles, Bible study groups, and other activities that nurture faith together. We need each other to practice love and to keep faith and to have hope. As Paul points out, prayer is especially crucial to spiritual health. It keeps us not only in close personal contact with the one whose love draws us together in the first place, but it also allows us to minister to one another as we pray for one another. And you know what? Prayer is not just an excuse for giving God a long list of requests, but prayer is an act of opening our spirit to a two-way conversation with Christ. Like breathing, prayer involves both exhaling our needs, our love, our praise, and inhaling God's peace and power and presence. We might think of prayer as kind of spiritual aerobics, exercise that forces your spirit to breathe deeply and fully oxygenate the soul. So prayer should be such an important part of our lives that Paul ends his letter with the warning to pray in the Spirit at all times. Another discipline encouraged by Paul were acts of mission. A refreshed and strengthened spirit will naturally flow out and over others. And so serving others has a spiritual way of focusing our lives on what is important, so that no matter how busy our lives become, our spiritual energy and health will only suffer if it is hoarded and not shared in service. Being ministers of the gospel to others is what it means to be a Christian. We become ministers through the acts of love and the works of faith that we offer to the world around us. It's easy to keep busy, isn't it? Even if we are focused on our spirituality and relationship with Jesus Christ, keeping physically fit doesn't mean having to run a decathlon of events every day until we drop. A wiped out spirit leaves us feeling exhausted and wrung out. And so it's also important to take the downtime to rest and regroup to maintain our spiritual health. Taking Sabbath, for example, allows us to renew our bodies, minds, and souls so that we can continue to engage in community with God's people and hear the voice of the Spirit guiding us forward. No one that I know of can give of themselves to others when their spiritual cupboard is bare. So we must take time to be silent, to read, to meditate, to walk quietly in the world with open eyes and sometimes with closed mouths. And only by taking this kind of intermission are we equipped for mission. Paul mentions then the sword of the Spirit as the word of God. And thankfully, our spiritual strength is not dependent on our own abilities, our own insights, our own wisdom. Christians have a record of God's continuing activity in the world as we read it in Holy Scripture. What is revealed to us over and over again is God's words of love and guidance and judgment to all creation. But do we actually immerse ourselves in the Word every day? Well, certainly all Christians need a dose of Bible as part of their minimum daily requirements for spiritual health. Strangely, what seems like such an obvious additive is the one we are most likely to ignore, though. Now, in a couple weeks, area students will begin school on a Tuesday. They will engage in learning that will prepare them to be the very best they can be. So perhaps a new school year is a way for those of us not school age to re-engage in the disciplines of our faith. As we stress the importance of academic work to the children in our midst, may we also stress the importance of spiritual health to one another and to our children and those who we know could benefit from the daily requirements for spiritual health. Because the truth is, when we allow ourselves to continue growing and learning in our faith, well, then we are able to remain bold to make Christ known in the world around us. To God be the glory. Amen. I invite you, if you are able, to stand as we sing our song of praise. In the bulb, there is a flower, a perfect illustration of growing.